We are here for our insulin suppression podcast. We are here tonight to speak to why Harvard Medical School is wrong about heart health. And this was something as crazy as that might sound. We stumbled upon this a few weeks ago in researching cholesterol. And I happened to type in a search term. What was it? Cholesterol lowering foods. And by the way, Harvard Medical School is not the only one. There's Mayo Clinic.
There's the whole group.
American Heart Association and many other Healthline, many, many other websites that promote these cholesterol lowering food lists that we're going to go through tonight. And you will be shocked. We were shocked. We're also going to follow this up with a pretty intensive blog post.
It's intensive because it's so important.
We've got these authority websites and organizations that obviously do so much good for the community, the world, for that matter. I mean, these sites are being seen all over the globe
by millions.
But And when I first started reading this particular, you know, the Harvard Medical School's website, at the very top it says, well, this thing was posted. You know how the blog posts have a date, and it was posted 2009.
Yeah, right.
So I kind of just joked it off like, oh, yeah, you know, they probably have millions of pages on this website, and they just haven't, you know, updated in a while. And then I saw right below that it was updated February 2019.
2 months ago.
So
3 months ago.
That's when I not only was just blown away, but I started to get angry.
Yeah.
And you will too once we go through this, okay? So as we get into that, by all means, ask questions. If you're listening to the replay, you can certainly also put in questions. For those of you listening to this via our podcast, you can always go to our Shift Formula Facebook page, The Shift Formula. You can just type into the search and you will find us and you can ask questions there. And of course, we have our regular website, Shift Formula. Speaking of podcasts, our insulin suppression podcast, you can find and listen to the episodes. This is episode 19. You can just go to our website, theshiftformula.com/podcast. Okay, the URL is right in the comments section on our post here tonight. So, we're here again. I'm Charlie. This is Barbara McDermott, and we're here for the why Harvard Medical School is wrong about heart health. So let's get into it.
Okay. Well, I guess the important thing is just to start at the beginning, right? And as you had mentioned, we were doing some little bit more digging into cholesterol, and because that's one of the first questions or concerns, fears, anxieties, terrors that arises in an individual who is proactively changing their lives for good. That's where this gal gets angry. When I see our shifters especially having incredible outcomes and doing it, right?
Yeah, getting great results.
But then reading something like what came across this news feed and being stopped in their tracks, like if you're in the headlights, oh my gosh. And I had a scare myself, which I mentioned in another podcast. But, you know, when this happens to people we're caring for, don't make me snap my fingers. So this article.
So this article, which by the way, gets over 91,000 visitors a month. That's 1.1 million annually that they receive for this post. And it's actually highlighted on the main website page for
Siri's still asking us questions.
This phone is just going.
She's saying, I'm still not sure what you're asking me for.
and so the website homepage, this article is one of five articles that is highlighted, that is featured.
It was like the most important one.
So not only has this been updated, but the Harvard Medical School is promoting it to help individuals, and what they're doing is
making us crazy.
Not beyond that.
I know.
They are from a brain health standpoint,
but
it's harmful.
Yeah,
it's bad information. And it's driving people to resort to statins and other measures to control their cholesterol. And
it's irresponsible. And sometimes we use the word lazy journalism, you know, just to put something out there that's easy to write down.
I don't know what you mean.
I like it. You know what? Cholesterol can get first of all, cholesterol is in that category of those taking blame for what thy did not do, right? Bingo. So, you know, when we even just begin thinking about cholesterol, before we even look at the 11 foods that are prescribed to lower our cholesterol, we need to understand what cholesterol is even all about, right? So one of the first things you ask yourself, at least I do, A, do I need to lower my cholesterol? Cholesterol is a bunch of different things, right? Am I looking to lower it? Why am I lowering it? And B, what made it elevated so that someone would even suggest I need to lower it, right?
Right.
So when it comes to what even elevates cholesterol, does anyone have any ideas out there? I know a bunch of you do because I know you're some of the A students here. But what raises, I would say insulin, that's the word I always go to. But when insulin's up, the interesting thing is, so is cholesterol, because both of those situations mean inflammation is up. Hmm. So cholesterol is a fortifier. You know, cholesterol puts out fires. Cholesterol repairs any damage that our body has sustained. And cholesterol even acts as a sweeper, like our endothelial layer of our blood vessel can get maybe some debris attached. Well, HDL helps to sweep that out. That's why it's gotten the label of you're the good cholesterol. LDL is generally, fifth grade version here, the patcher, the Band-Aid. Okay, so if over time, my blood vessels, you know, sustain some microscopic tears, it's the LDL that actually patches that up. Okay, now, LDL gets a little more complicated. LDL is more of a fragile version. Okay, the HDL is a little more robust. The LDL is a little more fragile, which means it's more susceptible to being damaged. What would damage cholesterol? I'm actually getting silly about this now because we know it in ciders. Sugar. Is it the sugar from the sugar bowl? Yeah, but is it just the sugar from the sugar bowl? No. It's carbohydrate in general. All carbohydrate, no matter what it is, converts to sugar, blood sugar, glucose. And it's that tiny shards of glass, you know, running through our blood vessels, especially if we're in, you know, great amounts of sugar, which oftentimes we are, because the medical profession is telling us to eat carbohydrate focused. That's a lot of blood sugar, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what causes the wear and tear to begin with. So one thing that will indirectly elevate cholesterol is carbohydrate. Because carbohydrate is a blood sugar load. Blood sugar is abrasive. The abrasions get patched by cholesterol. So when our body is suffering some kind of damage, and any of us who've been through emotional stress, physical stress like surgery, under stress with a life change, we oftentimes see that our cholesterol, LDL even, rises. It's in response to demand. Our body doesn't make anything it's not supposed to. Boom, right? So that's one of the reasons cholesterol will be elevated. Plus, we're eating a high carbohydrate diet. So this is why I laugh, because the whole world, myself included one time, is chasing our tail, watching our cholesterol while we're told to eat carbohydrate focused, which has cholesterol rising, which has us chasing our tail. It's an exhausting, dizzying, confusing rigmarole, for lack of a better word. I hope I used that correctly. Rigmarole. That's one of the reasons. Do you want to interject something?
No. I'm.
Anybody has anyone ever out there experienced? I had, you know, a stressful situation in your life, and guess what? You have cholesterol to be worried about now too. That was your dad when he went through his surgery. You know, his cholesterol was high, his blood sugar was high. Go figure, right? We know blood sugar rises when we're stressed, because cortisol, that stress hormone, tells our liver to dump some glycogen out. So, you know, blood sugar rises, cholesterol rises. All this is stress. Bring stress down. Stress less.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I go into the second reason We are elevated cholesterol. Am I jabbering too much?
You were curious. Okay. What's number two?
Well, what's number one? Everyone remember? What is it?
Sugar.
Thanks. Carbohydrate.
Carbohydrate.
And the second one is, and you've heard this term, factory fats. What are factory fats? Well, factory fats really is a big, ugly term for like foods that, you know, aren't created by the world, but are created by these people, the humans inhabiting the planet, right? And they happen in plants, not plant foods, but factory plant foods. Interesting thing is they oftentimes come from plant foods, but that's a whole nother conversation.
So plant as in where they...
A factory.
Yeah, a factory.
A plant.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. We're playing words there.
Production.
Okay. I'm with you.
Keep everybody listening. So these factory fats are what we know. We've heard this. Mrs. Brady used to sing it to me in the television. I'm telling you. In the marketing world, I am every marketer's dream. If you give me a smile and a song, pretty colors, I'm buying. And Mrs. Brady was selling Wessonality, right? Wessonality. Bing. That was what we were supposed to be serving our family. That's an example of vegetable oil, right? But the word vegetable oil is very, not only misleading, but it's downright confusing because you think to yourself, okay, what do we all think? Vegetable oil, it's got to be good
for
us.
Yeah, like pour me a cup.
Pour me a cup of vegetable oil.
Yeah.
And then you realize when you start doing the digging, you're like, wait a minute. Vegetable oils are made from, not vegetables. We don't make carrot oil.
Imagine that.
Broccoli oil, really. We make seed oil. Think of sunflower seed and safflower oil and canola oil, which we talked about in one of our cider group. We all realized, wait a minute, what is a canola? I know what a sunflower is. What is a canola?
No such animal.
And then you realize, wait a minute, canola is not a thing. It's actually a country. So it's actually rape seed. No lying. That's the seed that actually is canola oil. But you know what the marketers are like? Yeah, no one is going to be buying no rape seed oil. I'm sure they had a conversation. Let's name it after our country, Canada.
And part of it was also to compete
with Mazola. Yeah. Which is supposed to be maize ola, which because it's corn. Mm. And we all know, so there's the other one. And that was 1978 when canola oil came out. We're all wearing our bell bottoms and dancing to the Bee Gees, you know. It was supposed to be so good, but it wasn't, okay? It wasn't good because it's not even vegetable oil. So the other one is the example of
the oil?
Corn, okay? So we think, well, corn, like that's decent, right? That's a vegetable. Meh. It's not a vegetable. It's a grain. So that is made from the germ of like a wheat. You know, we hear wheat germ. Well, corn also has a germ. It's a grain. It's that. And the other one is, so it's seeds, germs, meaning wheat germ, you know, the germ of a plant, and beans. Hmm. We're not making it from a vegetable. We're making it from beans. Soybean. Okay. One of the most genetically modified crops ever.
Wow.
Right? So vegetable oils are not vegetable oils, but they were given this name by whom? The people selling them. They're made from the crops that are the most genetically modified. And to create the vegetable oil, it's a very intensive chemically created fat. That's a lot of, right? A lot of red flags there. The kicker is factory fats. Polyunsaturated fatty oils, vegetable oils as a category, are extremely heavy in polyunsaturated. Three fats, saturated fats, monounsaturated fats, polyunsaturated fats. All three of those in natural, you know, coming from the world are good for us. They're all good. We get polyunsaturated fats in things like salmon and nuts. But here is where we can use that phrase, the poisons in the portion. We can use it for this. Because when there's so much polyunsaturated, especially fake versions of it, and the saturated and the monounsaturated is so low, it's that high amount that is damaging. And it really comes down to the omega-6 and the omega-3. They're the polyunsaturated fatty acids. We should have omega-3s and omega-6s like this. But in today's world, omega-3 is here, and omega-6 is like, you can't even see it. It's out the roof. So we're getting an exorbitant amount of this. And that, when it comes into our body, is being used to make the cell structure, and it's bad. And this is what weakens cell membranes. So carbohydrates scratch us inside. Cholesterol rises to act as a repairing. And factory fats, vegetable oils, weaken. Cholesterol fortifies those weak places.
Yeah.
So they're basically the two reasons why we're even having concerns about elevated cholesterol.
Right. So if you're just joining us.
What is she talking about?
We're talking about, you know, really what we're up against as, you know, the public. The odds are against us in trying to understand
what,
you know, how to best set ourselves up for a vibrant, long life without,
which is our birthright,
a loss of quality of life. We all get that modern medicine will allow us to extend our life, but
generally,
we don't want that necessarily. We want to parallel that with extending the quality of our life at the same time. And far too often what happens, the quality of life, man, goes down. There's a steep drop off at a certain point. And in many cases, it begins with diabetes and some of these other conditions that are related to what we teach, too much insulin, heart disease, cancer, and on and on and on.
Angry faces.
So what we're talking about tonight is where Harvard Medical School, as well as many other these authoritative sites, you know, if you Google some of these, like what we talked about is Google cholesterol lowering foods, and you'll get Mayo Clinic, and you'll get American Heart Association, and you'll get Healthline, and you'll get certainly Harvard Medical School, and they all have these lists. Some are 8, some are 13, some are 11, whatever. And most of the foods, if not all of them in some cases, are foods that are actually going to increase cholesterol and, you know, dangerously, and, you know, cause more of a concern for heart disease. And really,
because cholesterol does not cause heart disease. Carbohydrates do.
Yeah.
And it's that simple. Don't blame the cholesterol for what the carbohydrate's doing. And Jeff, you know, he just said junk food. And I forgot to add that, Jeff. So thank you very much for pulling it to my attention. You know, these factory fats, vegetable oils we're talking about are in every packaged product.
Yeah.
In fact, we're hard-pressed to go into the supermarket and pick out any package and turn it over and not see soybean oil especially.
Yeah.
So why is a packaged product so compromising? Because it's the double whammy. It's the factory fats, and it's the carbohydrate high. Double whammy.
Yeah.
It's the and that, Jeff Marston, you're right. That's the junk food.
Yeah.
Carbohydrate and factory fat and. Okay? Carbohydrate and factory fats.
So we're going to go through this list in a minute. And before we do, just a quick reminder as you watch this, whether it's the live version or the replay, remember to like. Remember to introduce yourself. Say hi. Where are you from? So that... And yes, even if you're watching the replay so that we can get this out to the world, you know, the odds of us even making a dent, you know, versus the Mayo Clinic and Harvard and all these other sites, I mean, 100, probably 10 million to one here.
We are,
I mean,
that's, here's a who, and we're on the dust speck.
And it's unfortunate because
thanks, Sandy,
of the information that's being passed on. Now, my guess is 99%, 98% of what's on these sites are extremely helpful, accurate.
Yeah.
But when this information becomes, even if it was just you know, neutral, whatever, we wouldn't be talking about this. But when it becomes harmful to the public, something needs to be done.
Yeah.
So the link to that site is on the page, or if you're listening via the podcast, just Google cholesterol lowering foods list. Yeah. And you'll see these lists pop up, and many of the foods that Barb is going to go through that appeared on the Harvard Medical School list are on these other lists as well.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit of a conspiracy. And Jeff also asked the question, so does low-density lipoprotein, the LDL, increase after a surgery? Well, It certainly could. If a body needs assistance in repairing damage, that's what LDL is all about. But we're not to fear a rise in LDL. What we should be mindful of is that our LDL is not being damaged. It's not being compromised. It's not being oxidized, right? It's the factory fats and the carbohydrates that damage the fragile LDL. It's not the quantity of LDL. It's the quality. Hmm. And we can understand the quality of our LDL generally just by having an A1C test taken. Those of us in the diabetes world get that 3-month checkup or 6-month, depending upon the degree of our diabetes, and we find out our report card of sugariness or damage, glycation to our whole body by this blood test. And we can get a sense for how our LDL is faring just by that A1C. So many of our shifters went from an A1C of 8.4 down to a 6.2. That's a heck of a lot less damage going on inside. That's a heck of a lot less damage to our LDL as well. So don't fear cholesterol, but revere cholesterol and stand up for it and protect it.
Yeah. That's it.
I don't know. These crusades
it's madness
for cholesterol.
That we even have to talk about.
I'm having
this
a
stuff.
Crusade moment for cholesterol. How many people do that? I don't know. There must be others. I'll find them. We'll find them. Well, they're here. We're all crusaders for cholesterol, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? Here's the scary thing. I get nervous saying things. We can sometimes guess who has low cholesterol, who is eating a low-fat diet life, because they're angry and they're irritated and they have a low threshold because they're angry and they're irritated because they don't have enough fat. And cholesterol not only fuels our brain, but it fortifies our brain. So, you know, we lost Mom McDermott, oh my gosh, to Alzheimer's. On statins, yeah. Low-fat diet, yeah. Oh my gosh. She couldn't even look at butter without getting nervous about it. And she needed butter like crazy.
Well, but it was interesting. Once she was overheated. Under, you know, pretty deep into Alzheimer's, what was she eating?
She was eating butter. And loving it.
Like reaching for it.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things in life. We all know that. We've been there with our own stories. If we only knew then what we know now, you know, how much different might it have been?
Yeah.
You know, but we don't have that luxury, but we can help others.
It's amazing. The body wants what the body wants.
Body wants what the body wants. Yeah. But the mind will stop us because we've been so propagandized. Yeah. You know, it's time to say the emperor is not wearing any clothes and we peasants need to stand up with our pitchforks, right?
Yep.
Okay, so should we go into it?
Yeah,
let's
get into it.
So should I talk about a little bit what the parameters that Harvard Medical put out to justify their list? I think I should.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are three parameters that, and I can, we can understand these. One of the parameters is to eat foods that have a lot of fiber in it because science shows, and I don't know this for sure, but science shows that fiber somehow binds LDL, low-density lipoprotein, and carries it out with it. You know, fiber doesn't do anything but kind of go through us and out us. Okay, so fiber argument is it will take LDL. Do you see what's going on here? They want us to get rid of all the LDL. We just want to improve our LDL. We don't want to get rid of it.
Throw the baby out with the bathwater.
We just want to make sure our LDL is healthy. But unfortunately, medical protocol is just, you know, if this is an iffy area, let's just get rid of any of it. That's not good. And we're smart enough to do this. So fiber is one. The second one is crazy. I just talked about this. That polyunsaturated fatty acids in studies showed a link to vegetable oils and a less amount of LDL. Okay. I can't comment on that study, but every single other book in the world will say, okay, we can't know for sure if that was a real linear action, but you can't deny the fact that polyunsaturated fatty acids in heavy amounts in vegetable oil is going to oxidize what LDL is there left. Okay, so polyunsaturated fatty acids in the form of vegetable oils where it's a lot. If you have some nuts, it's a little bit. You have some salmon, it's a little bit. Vegetable oils, it's a lot of it. Okay. And then it's everywhere in all the food. So you're not only getting a lot of it at once, but you're getting a lot of it often.
Okay. You don't realize you're getting it.
Yeah. So their second one is to eat more polyunsaturated fatty acids, which I say, yeah, go for it. In almonds, in salmon, in all regular foods, not these company generated foods.
Fake fats.
That's the second. And the third one is let's block our body's ability to absorb cholesterol from the food we eat. Okay, wait a minute. That's so many layers of crazy. But so they're telling us to eat these certain compounds. We'll get to them a little bit. And because they're so much like cholesterol, our body doesn't absorb regular cholesterol because this one interferes with that one being absorbed. And now guess what the good news is? Companies are putting these things into your foods, like your granola bars and your margarine. So, yeah, you're welcome. And we're like, what are they saying? Like, we're supposed to eat margarine? You know, margarine is hydrogenized, which even more chemically processed vegetable oil. It's like vegetable oil, like in hell. Yeah. It's even worser. Someone you said to me, it's getting worser. It is getting worser. So they're the three reasons. It's fiber, polyunsaturated fatty acids, and let's just block it completely. So the guess what the first food is, everybody? Does anyone know? What's the first word of that song? What do you think it is, everybody? I know you're thinking it. I'm going to write it down. It's oats. It's oats.
Oatmeal.
Oatmeal. And you know what? I know we're on a delay and I should have paused there a little bit longer. So I apologize if you're going to type that down. But, you know, oatmeal, they say, is the easiest first step to lowering cholesterol because there's so much fiber in oatmeal. That's, you know, it's going to bind with that LDL and pull it out. Okay, here's the cray. You ready? In what they're saying, a bowl, doesn't tell us what size bowl, but in just one cup amount, which is very little oatmeal. It's not that much oatmeal, right? In one cup of oatmeal, we're going to get about 24 grams of carbohydrate and maybe 1 or 2 grams of fiber. Now, they also go on to say you wanted to have about 20 to 35 grams of fiber a day, but this oatmeal is only going to give you maybe 2 and 24 grams of sugar, you know, carbohydrate. And you know what? Throw a banana on that. Then you'll get ready for this. You'll get more fiber by putting a banana on. Guess how much more fiber you're going to get by putting a banana on that oatmeal? 1/2.
1/2 a gram.
1/2 gram of fiber. Thank you for filling my blanks. So basically what they're saying is if you have oatmeal with banana, now we don't have 24 grams of carbohydrate. We have 48 grams of carbohydrate. 48 grams of carbohydrate is 48 grams of glucose to our body. 48 grams of glucose, blood sugar to our body is actually 48 divided by 4, 12 teaspoons of blood sugar. Now that might, for anyone who's new, and I see some new listening, that might be like, okay, 12 teaspoons of sugar, is that bad? Well, our body will strive tirelessly to maintain just 1 teaspoon of blood sugar. This medical community is recommending 12 teaspoons of blood sugar just to get maybe 3 grams of fiber. Now that's crazy. And any of us who have friends, family, loved ones in the diabetes situation or diabetes-like situation, because cancer is diabetes-like, fibromyalgia is diabetes-like, heart disease is diabetes-like, Alzheimer's is diabetes-like, it's all related to blood sugar. That's a bunch of crazy to have someone eat oatmeal and bananas specifically to lower cholesterol when we know that that 12 teaspoons of sugar is going to inflame and scratch, which means our body's going to need to produce more cholesterol to deal with it. And here's the thing. Your body, my body, his body, everyone's body produces their own cholesterol.
Yeah.
85% of the cholesterol on our lipid panel is from us. We did that. Universe, thank you. Obviously, I needed some for some reason. Only 15% of what's presented on your panel actually came from food. Here's the thing. If we don't eat cholesterol foods, my son Charlie, when he was 8 years old and just ate grains, apples, he might present with high cholesterol because his body's actually overcompensating by making more because his diet isn't offering him any.
Not might, he did.
He did. He had high cholesterol when he was in second grade. Good grief. But here's my thing. High cholesterol? Who created the number? An arbitrary number? I don't know. I had high cholesterol once, and I'll tell you what, for one thing, I needed it. I was under a great deal of stress. My body was producing it for me, not to me and at me. It was created for me.
A lot of money in sick. Yeah, a lot of money in keeping it sick.
Am I draining anyone out there? Am I emotionally draining to you? I hope not. Okay, so the second one. So we have oats is number one. The second most beneficial, and you know what? I will give them credit. I don't know if this is listed in order of importance or not, but it feels like it is. The second one is barley and whole grains. Everyone out there, give me up. Right? We know that grains are the world's most dense food carbohydrate-wise. Any grain naturally inflames because it's naturally so high in carbohydrate. Now, we're not even suggesting that no one ever eats oatmeal. They don't have bananas. They don't have barley and wheat and all these things. We want you to understand how it impacts your body so you can decide how much of it and when, right? But again, they were saying that this fiber, they always use the way, they always say can help, might help, may help. And guess what? It's only about 5%, you know. It's not a whole lot of help, but it could help. A lot of big maybes over everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go on to the next one. We go from oats and barley grain to beans. Okay. Now, when it comes to beans, we give them the thumbs up for fiber because an equal amount of...
We as in general.
General, sorry. Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. Just nutritional guidelines. Yeah. It's a thumbs up on fiber because... an amount of kidney beans and amount of oatmeal, the same equal amount, the oatmeal is going to give, I'm going to give a little help. I'm going to say even 3 to 4 grams of fiber, give or take. But the beans give us 10 for the same amount. So beans trump, beans trump oats and barley as far as fiber. However, their carbohydrate sugar load is equal. So you're still getting a boatload of carbohydrates, but at least your fiber is a little bit higher. So there's that.
And we need to talk about fiber at some point in the future because there's maybe kind of like cholesterol. There's a lot of misinformation out there, would you say?
You know, I think we use it as some kind of panacea that's going to solve all these problems. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, when your body's not inflamed and is working fine, you don't even think about fiber. I mean, I don't even worry about fiber, how much fiber I'm getting. My body is working because it's not inflamed. My body is working because I eat a fat-focused diet. And my fiber comes from my leafy greens, my cruciferous vegetables. That's what the next one goes into, some vegetables. And I was wondering, how can Harvard Medical not even mention leafy greens? Like, that seems like an oversight, right? So number four on
everything is an oversight.
Number four on their list, it's not vegetables, everybody. It's specifically eggplant and okra. Eggplant and okra. I can't tell you the last time I had any eggplant nor okra. Neither of these are not to be had. I just don't have them very often. But they say in here, these two low-calorie vegetables are good sources of soluble fiber. Well, I know my fifth grade class would have said, Ms. McDermott, isn't every vegetable low calorie and a good source of fiber? And I would be like, yep, extra credit. It's true, right? Now, the root vegetables have more calorie because they have more carbohydrate than the above ground growing vegetables. However, good grief, let's just put every vegetable in there and not just the eggplant and okra.
Done.
Okay. I'm starting to have some fun. Okay, number five. We start to get into some category where it seems to make a little bit of sense. And this is nuts.
Okay. It is nuts.
It is nuts. Now, I love this. They say a bushel of studies show that eating almonds, walnuts, peanuts, which is actually in the legume bean family prior, okay, but and other nuts is good for the heart. They don't tell us why, but they say eating 2 ounces of nuts a day can slightly lower LDL, on the order of 5%.
Woo-woo.
Okay, so then I said to myself, okay, if I was a person taking this to heart, which I always am, how much almonds, let's use almonds, how many almonds makes 2 ounces? They say it's 2 ounces, eating 2 ounces. Has anyone ever said, I'm going to have me 2 ounces of nuts? Now, does anybody out there know how many nuts is 2 ounces? Well, if we're not in that kitchen cray that I used to be with a kitchen scale measuring for blood sugar, carbohydrates, diabetes, or if you're very fast on Google, you can find these answers. And I'll tell you, you can find answers so much easier today than 10 years ago. But if you do some math and some homework, you'll find that 2 ounces of almonds is about 46 individual whole almonds. Now, when I compared that with the is there a nut council, almond council? I was on their website. Yeah. They recommend eating half that amount a day, like just like 24.
It's not very smart. How are they going to sell more almonds?
Well, here's the, I know, but here's the thing. How many of us would sit down and eat 46 almonds? Oh my God. I don't think I could get those in.
24. 45.
It just seems a little belabored. It seems a little belabored.
And well, it sounds like a lot of work.
It sounds like, well, it sounds like uncomfortable. But here's the thing. Are we going to really eat 46 almonds for the slightly lower chance?
It. Yeah.
And then here's my question. I know when I share, nuts are a good idea because they're highest in fat. They have a good amount of protein and they're really low in carbohydrate, which really makes them heart healthy. They have fat and protein, but they have no or very little carbohydrate because the fiber cancels out that carbohydrate inside our body as far as blood sugar rise. So these wonderful saturated, monounsaturated, and polyunsaturated fats that are in nuts are in a great proportion because they're made by the earth. So they are good for health. But they don't specify in here that they shouldn't be roasted in factory fats or vegetable oils. And many of us would be like, I'm grabbing the nuts. I can eat 46 of these babies every day. And we don't realize that, well, they've been compromised by these factory fats and they really should be raw, not manipulated. But isn't it interesting that number six, notice the number six, to the what I think is the worst of the worst of the worst. It's when they say you should be eating more vegetable oils to lower cholesterol, to lower your LDL. Using liquid vegetable oils such as canola, rapeseed oil, sunflower seed oil, safflower, and others in place of butter. Butter is almost all saturated fat. It's stable. It doesn't oxidize and spit out free radicals when it's exposed to heat. But these vegetable oils are explosive as far as free radicals.
Hmm.
Okay. Hmm. So number six, the vegetable oils, just it kind of just takes the wind out of my sails because it's very confusing to help a person and convince them that grass-fed butter is far superior to something called vegetable oil. That's a lot of layers of propaganda of the years to cut through.
Yeah, well, that's just it. You know, it's all that marketing messaging, the Brady commercials, you know, the labeling. My goodness, we should have brought the bottle in.
It's in.
Oh, here it is.
Like even Mazola. I remember the Mazola when I was a kid. I loved corn. I was a corn and potato girl.
Now, the so funny thing is,
I love the maize.
Yeah, you know, we have these simply because we do retreats or guests come here and they bring their healthy oils, right? So here's Mazola, which is corn oil. And it's interesting to see, God, I'm trying to line this up.
Cholesterol.
What's at the very top?
Oh.
Heart healthy. And then right below it, cholesterol free. And
why is it cholesterol free, everybody? Because it's not made from an animal, okay? The only foods that have cholesterol in them are foods that were alive. Because cholesterol is really an important, critical component to life.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, here's Wesson. And same deal. You know, they really play up, see the heart next to canola oil, And at the bottom, you can see cholesterol-free. They really play up the...
And it says zero trans fats.
Yep.
Because there is zero trans fat. Trans fat is, when you think about the word trans, it transitions, it changes, right? When you take this vegetable oil and subject it to outrageous chemical and heating, it turns into hydrogen. It turns into trans fat. This is prior.
It's into a monster.
I know.
Yeah.
And it is funny when you find out, when you ask yourself, I felt so stupid a couple of weeks ago saying to myself in my brain, like, wait a minute, what is a canola? I said, wait a minute, should I be asking that question? Or am I showing my fifth grade brain, which I don't mind, by the way. What is a canola?
Yeah, yeah. But again, so we're talking decades of brainwashing, yeah. decades of, I mean, these companies, when you think about how much money is everything from statins to the foods we eat to the oils that are sold.
And here's another
that they hire the best, smartest marketing minds on the planet.
And they're doing a good job.
And that's why you see hearts and everything from, you know, the wording and the colors and
I love the yellow.
Nice pictures of corn. You know.
And here's the other thing. I noticed this today and I was doing a video on this. We know that these are junk. First of all, by their price, their packaging, all oils, especially when they have zero saturated fat. Their saturated fat, and when this is corn oil, the saturated fat, which is the stable fat, is only 2. Now, in coconut oil, it's almost all saturated fat. And this is monounsaturated fat is 4. That's a little bit okay too. But the polyunsaturated fat is the greatest number. So these fats, when subjected to temperature, heat, even light, start to go rancid. So these aren't even protected. Okay. And their shelf life is like 3 to 6 months at the most. Where's my coconut oil over there? Sure, I'm going to grab that. Oh, the olive oil is in the other room. You can get the avocado, the little one. And okay. The olive oil is in the room. But, you know, when you're buying things like avocado oil, which is a lot of saturated fat, not that one, they are going to be closed in so that the light and the heat can't get to it. That's not.
You want the olive
oil? I want the olive oil. But the packaging will show you the value of what's inside because the packaging should be darkened or not, let no light in. This lets a lot of light in, but you know what? They're really not worried about it. They're just selling junk and making a lot of money doing it. And your olive oil, again, compared, is going to be in, you know, a dark bottle. That's because it protects the fats in that bottle from being oxidized, from turning rancid, heat and light. You know, heat and light can make us all irritated. I was thinking about fats. You know, when they're subjected to heat, things can go bad, right? Free radicals are popping out. And the same thing with human beings. When we get heated, things are flying, right? Okay, let's move on. Enough about the vegetable oils. I'm tired of giving them too much time in the limelight. Their day is done, right? Their day is done. Okay. Look at you, power couple. If you only knew. Thank you, Agnes. It's very kind. I appreciate the positive energy because, man, whew, when we're doing this kind of stuff, we start the day like, what are we doing? We sometimes say, okay. And you know what we're doing? We're protecting our children. We're protecting our families. And we're protecting the people we love, who we have met in our shift community, who have lifted us up. And it keeps going back and forth, and it just keeps rippling out. So thanks for being a part of that movement, Agnes. Okay, so after the vegetable oils, number 7 goes into not just fruit in general, but they name apples, grapes, strawberries, and citrus fruits. My shift insiders are going, brrr. Okay, I love it. They tell us again that these are the kinds of fruits that have fiber. The fiber is specifically called pectin. And eating an apple a day will keep the doctor away. We know that eating an apple a day keeps the doctor well paid because that apple will give us a wee little bit of fiber, about 4, medium apple. But the apple itself will give us about 24 grams of carbohydrate. Do my math, about 6 teaspoons of sugar. And medium apple is 6 teaspoons of sugar to our body, which is 4 grams of the fiber. So again, we're actually creating stress on the body, which triggers an uptick of cholesterol production, and only 4 grams of fiber that's supposed to be sweeping out my cholesterol. And I'm saying again, please don't take my cholesterol out. Just let me make sure that it's healthy, right? But the apple thing was interesting because we know as insiders that fructose is one of the forms of sugar naturally made in the world. All fruits have fructose in it, okay? Now, things like lactose and other kind of oses, just different forms of sugar, get broken down to glucose. Everything gets down to glucose. But fructose, see, fructose can't be used by the cells of our body. It goes straight to the liver, and our body turns it into something it can use. Our cells can't use fructose directly, so our body makes it into something else that it can use. Guess what fructose gets metabolized into by the liver, and it gets sent out for the body to use for fuel? It's triglycerides. So fruit raises triglycerides higher than like any other food because it actually is triglycerides. Triglycerides are great. They're just fatty acids floating around our bloodstream to be used by cells that are fat adapted and know how to use them, right? That's exciting. But here's the thing. When it comes to fructose, we don't want too much of it if we're not using it up. An apple, something like regular table sugar is about 50 to 60% fructose. Honey is 55% fructose. An apple is 70%. So fruit is not bad. It's just not serving us the way people are telling it's supposed to be.
That's it.
Jeff's yelling, carbs. And we love carbs. We do carbs, right? Carbohydrates are just fuel, flavorful fuel. But like this, this is why we're all running in circles, chasing cholesterol, chasing blood sugar, chasing statins, chasing fibromyalgia, wondering when they left the car keys. Why is my heart feel tense and tight? It's carbohydrates. We are just... So have you noticed, Jeff's noticed, oats, carbohydrates, barley, carbohydrates, beans, carbohydrates, eggplant and okra, still carbohydrates, nuts, have some carbohydrates, vegetable oils, good God, no carbohydrates, but scary cell weakening fats. Now we have fruits, more carbohydrates. They haven't named one food yet that isn't inflammatory. You know, now they're not saying eat junk food. And everyone knows junk food's inflammatory. We need to get into the nuts and bolts of the real food and understand that. That's what we do. So here's my favorite one. You ready for this one? Okay. This one, it took me 2 days to kind of like pull this all together. Something, okay, Barb, get your act together. Number 8, infinity symbol. Ooh, I love things like that. Symbolism. Okay. They're suggesting that we should eat more foods fortified with sterols and stanols. Sterol. I don't know if I should write back here. Can I write back here?
You sure?
Sterol is like the end of cholesterol. Sterol. Not sterol, but sterol and stanol. And these are compounds. Oops. Oh, man, that's a tight twist. Sterols and stanols. These are compounds found in plants. And scientists have realized, wait a minute, these molecularly are very much like cholesterol molecules. I would note they also look like cholesterol. They sound like cholesterol, and molecularly they look like cholesterol under a microscope. So when these are put into our body, they block our intestines from absorbing cholesterol from food because they get mixed up with these guys. So if we have more of these in our foods, our body won't absorb real cholesterol as much. That's the blocking thing. Remember, we talked about the fiber, the polyunsaturated fatty acids somehow lower. Now we're into that blocking agent. I love this. Okay, so sterols and stanols are extracted from plants and they gum up. Does that sound like a good idea? Where's Steph? She'd be like, da! They gum up the body's ability to absorb cholesterol from food. They gum up. Gumming up anything doesn't sound like...
Yeah, that's not...
And
not a good visual.
Here's the good news, everybody. You ready for this? Guess what? Companies are adding sterols and stanols to foods.
Awesome.
This is awesome. They're adding them to margarine. They're adding them to granola bars. They're adding them to orange juice and chocolate. I didn't make this up. This is actually in the article. So here's the cray. Do you feel it? Companies are now taking advantage of us crazed cholesterol, confused consumers, and are giving us foods that stimulate more cholesterol because they inflame our body. But they're giving us those with additives that are supposed to reduce cholesterol. So additives that reduce cholesterol in foods that raise cholesterol. So I guess when we go to the food store, we should be looking for orange juice and see added sterols and stanols. And I bet you that's all be there. I never thought to look for something like that. Yeah. You know? But it says getting 2% of these plant getting 2 grams of this stuff every day can lower our LDL by about 10%. And you know what? I keep thinking about this lowering LDL, and I think to myself, are these kinds of mechanisms, especially the fiber? Because our body doesn't need that much fiber. So are these mechanisms actually kind of tripping us? And they make it seem as if it's serving us. Like, we don't want less, I don't think. We just want better quality.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so moving off from the sterols and the stanols, right? Number 9, oy. Everyone say oy. I heard you. It's soy, okay? They're telling us to eat more soy. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about a decade ago, soy was in the limelight of being some kind of, it is the answer food.
Yeah.
And then things like breast cancer rise was going on. And then we're realizing, wait a minute. Some of this soy acts like a phytoestrogen. It mimics, when it's inside of us, it triggers things like that estrogen triggers. What does estrogen trigger? Estrogen triggers the development of sexual parts of our body, female, especially breast tissue. So anyone who's battling breast cancer knows, I want to keep my estrogen down low. Now, eating soy is not recommended for someone with breast cancer because we know that that could stimulate breast tissue growth, and we don't want breast tissue growth happening if we are battling breast cancer, right? Belly fat produces estrogen. Soy acts like estrogen. And this here says eating soybeans and foods made from them, like tofu and soy milk, was once touted as a powerful way to lower cholesterol, but analysis show that the effect is more modest. So eat that, but it's not going to help as much as we thought, but still keep eating that. But we know from our vegetable oil talk that soybeans are one of the most genetically modified and overused plants in our kingdom today. Monsanto, anyone? Yes, we understand. These crops have been manipulated tremendously. Unless we are eating a soy product that we know is of top quality and hasn't been compromised, you know, go for it. But to eat more of it to somehow lower cholesterol?
Yeah, going out of your way.
I need to eat more soy today, Mom. No, we don't. Okay, number 10, finally, we're getting to the end. There's only two more. Number 10, we finally get to a place of sanity, and they recommend fatty fish.
Oh, at last.
They recommend fatty fish. Even though all the directives from these communities say adhere to a plant-based low-fat diet, they are telling us to have some fatty fish because they're telling us to use it to replace meat. So eat fish meat over four-legged meat, right? Because the saturated fats in that are better than the saturated fats in leg meat, you know, animals that walk. And there's a whole other discussion we can probably do for another day. But, you know, meats get a bad rap because the animals are fed grain and antibiotics, and that makes them inflamed and then that we ingest that. Same thing for fish that are farmed and given vegetarian feed, right? Mm. Last time I looked, I think that fish ate plants at the bottom of the, you know, of the ocean or the lakes. So I will say fatty fish is a great idea for lowering cholesterol. Why? What's the one thing that fatty fish doesn't put into our body? The inflaming carbohydrate, right? It gives us wonderful fatty acids, terrific protein, because it's a living creature. So therefore, it naturally has the right balance of fat and protein that every living creature needs. This is why eating eggs and salmon is a great idea for heart health. It's everything we need and everything we don't need. Think about carbohydrate. It only provides us with fuel. Fatty acids provide us with fuel and fortifying compounds. Mm. Protein provides us with fuel because it actually becomes glucose. We don't even need the carbohydrates. The protein can take care of that energy, and it's a building block. So carbohydrates, we have to remember, are only fuel. And we have been led to overfuel ourselves to a fault. Last one, 11, not such a great idea. The least appealing way, they say, to lower cholesterol is with psyllium or Metamucil or bulk forming laxatives. Anything you would take, it would give you about 4 grams. And I'm telling you, shooting for that 20 to 35 grams of fiber a day, when I only got 4 in my oatmeal and my banana, I got 10 in some beans, but I got a carbohydrate load, so it's kind of a wash. And even if I use things like Metamucil, which I know irritated the heck out of your dad's digestive system near the end of his life, scratching our internal hosiery, as I like to call it. What the what? And that's how it all ends here. And every single one, I kept going, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So they're saying a diet heavy in fruits, vegetables, beans, and nuts. In the closing remarks, they didn't talk anything about the oats and the grains. They didn't even mention it in the last sentence. So I don't know if they did that on purpose or if that was just an oversight, but you know, as an eighth grade science teacher, I'd hand this back to one of my students to say, okay, can you take this back, revise it, and hand it back to me tomorrow?
Yeah. Or just put a big F on it.
No. I would say
take it off the website. Yeah.
But it's a lot of, it's not just that it's wrong. It's just that it's so confusing and almost belittling and just so misleading. You know, we need to go this way, and it's just pulling us way off target. But you know what? A part of me feels this thing. Should I say it?
I'm not sure what you're going to say.
So you go through this thing in life. I went through this. You know, as we age, things don't work as well. We develop insulin resistance naturally because our carbohydrate way of eating just makes us all more resistant to insulin. So we start developing a patch around our middle, which represents our blood sugar and our insulin, how prevalent it is in our lives. It's right there telling us what's going on. Or it's in our forgetfulness or our aging, right? Insulin and glucose accelerate aging and expansion. Okay, they also harden arteries. That's atherosclerosis, carbohydrates and insulin, not cholesterol. So we come into the doctor's office stressed from a life situation or, you know, life is stressful, no matter whether your curveballs are big or not, right? And we get that lecture. Oh, you know what? It's time to watch your cholesterol. I see things are shifting or elevating and, you know, want to pay attention. Take these guidelines home and apply it for 3 to 6 months and we'll check it again. We'll see if you can manage it, you know, with diet. You exercise a little more. Watch what you eat. Try to eat more beans and barley and get those vegetable oils. Oh, okay. So then we come back 6 months later and we're like, we did it. You know, we sacrificed. We said no to this.
I'm
going to eat more than this. We did the good deed, all of it. And we get the test and they say, oh, you know what? Looks like it's time. We're like, what do you mean it's time? Well, you know, you try with diet and you're like, you know what? I did try with diet and I'm done trying with diet. So I'm open and ready to receive the prescription, you know? And most doctors will say nowadays, you know, you can't manage
diet.
This with diet.
Yeah. Yep.
You can't diet your way out of this cholesterol situation. So the only alternative is either hoping that you're going to be fine or going down that prescription road.
Yeah.
And that's
what a terrible place to be where you say no. And you don't have the knowledge or the wherewithal to get out of that situation. So
you know, you're waking up in the middle of the night wondering, am I going to have a heart attack?
That was
tomorrow?
Me. I was terrified at one point in my life.
Or you
I knew enough.
Get on statins and you suffer the consequences.
Yep.
Either long term and or short term.
Yeah. You know, statins.
And they're significant.
And statins just have a compound in it that blocks every cell of your body's ability to produce cholesterol. And cholesterol is one of those critical life-sustaining components along with coenzyme Q10, vitamin K, our steroid hormones. These are all part of our cell's pathway of sustaining life. Because what do we know about cholesterol? It fortifies and repairs. If I don't got no fortification or repair mechanism going on, that cell dies. And guess what? That's what happens.
Yeah.
It sets up cell death. But cells in our body, different cells, die faster than others. Okay? But that's really what happens to brain health. And this is why Alzheimer's is being associated. The Alzheimer's epidemic has risen with prescription statins. Yeah. And also being called type 3 diabetes, because that glucose inflammation insulin piece is also prevalent. It's all so interrelated.
Yeah.
But the best thing we can do is to be uninflamed. And that way to get uninflamed is to lower the inflamer, the carbohydrate. Because when we lessen carbohydrate, we lessen insulin. Those two are the power defeaters of health.
Yep.
Glucose and insulin. Yeah. Get it down. Peace, love, and less insulin.
All right. Well, hopefully you enjoyed this. We appreciate you spending time with us, whether it's via the Facebook Live or our podcast or wherever else you're watching or listening. If you want to learn more about what we do and how we can help you get out of health chaos, whether it's diabetes or cancer or heart disease or cholesterol, weight gain, certainly cravings, go to our website, shiftformula.com, shift, S-H-I-F-T, formula, F-O-R-M-U-L-A.com. And we're getting lots of love here.
Oh, thank you so much. Right back at you.
Yeah.
You know, when we can take the complexities of life and make it conversational, we can apply it to our lives and actually feel better. You know, we can't do better unless we know better.
Yeah.
And it takes some rolling up of our sleeves. There's no lazy in this community.
Yeah.
You know, we apply it. We live it.
All right. We get together every Wednesday on our Facebook page, The Shift Formula on Facebook, 7 o'clock East Coast time. So make sure you make a note of that and get back here next week. And until then, you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Yeah. Keep calm and shift on.